Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast of the World!
Ding, ding, ding.
I am your host, Trebuchet. Welcome back. We are into our SummerSlam hangover. To my left, my broadcast colleague, Mr. Chad Showtime Schultz. How's it going?
I'm still mad about the Sasha Banks thing.
Okay, that's fair.
Still mad from 2 weeks.
That's fair, that's fair. He's salty. He's a little salty here.
Still am, but I turned that salt into a title win. I did not win the predictions title. No. However, I am a two-time WWE 2K Fest winner.
Or you could just sell the salt.
Chad's good at video games.
These guys can't beat a blind game at a game that involves button press timing.
You can't beat a blind game? Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
That.
That's what you said.
I blame.
That's a good brag. Trying to pour salt in their wounds. Failed miserably. Nice job.
Gotcha.
All right. Sitting across from him, the man, the myth, the mustache. Not so dashing, Cody. Go.
Yeah.
You're running some numbers over there.
I'm getting some numbers going here, yes.
Crunching some stats. And then, last but certainly not least, our reigning champion / general manager, Lil Dia. How does it feel?
It feels good.
So let's go over this really quick. Since she won by tying Riley, but Riley had no...
Riley, a first-time member...
First-time picker.
Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Didn't pick any pre-show matches because she was not here on time, so...
Be on time? Is that what we learned?
The B team.
The B stood for boobs. So three claps for Lydia. 1, 2, 3, taking home the championship.
Hell yeah.
Maybe they should be the D
honorable mention.
Ooh.
Nice. So you got
exactly. I got you.
So D finished in D and Mo got 12. You guys got 15 when you guys were tied for the first. And then Showtime and Ryan got 11. That's what this says right here.
Okay.
I didn't check here, but that sounds
good. What did I get? When I added it up is...
Before the last...
Yeah, I didn't... Those numbers on the side there aren't accurate. I was...
Oh, okay. Cody Goads crunching some numbers,
The numbers on this side aren't accurate either.
None of the numbers are accurate.
I'm crunching the numbers. I got an accurate number.
Let me explain my math real quick.
Okay.
By the end of the night for the final match, I wasn't counting everyone's. I was only counting the people who were still in it based on how many points they had.
Gotcha.
So the way it looked to me was that if Roman won, a lot of people got points. Riley and Lil Dia had the most, and Lil Dia had the tiebreaker. I would have won, I believe, if
you needed Brock.
If Brock won.
You needed Brock. Because I was one of the few
that picked Brock. I think it was at 13 before the 13 or 14 before the final round. But yeah, so Brock wins, I win.
The 15s are correct though.
Yeah. I was only adding up past a certain point.
Homeboy decided to go back to UFC and let you down.
Yeah, well, yeah.
No cash in either. We left SummerSlam with Roman Reigns being our champion.
Yeah,
all around SummerSlam was amazing.
I thought that was a great pay per view.
I said it before and I'll say it again. This was the best wrestling pay per view I've seen in like the last 3 years.
It was great. All the matches were good. The main event fell kind of flat.
I didn't care for the very end of it.
They had me interested the whole way. Braun Strowman was out there. He said he was going to cash in afterwards. Brock Lesnar beat him half to death with a steel chair. We never got that. Roman Reigns rolls into Raw with the Universal Championship around his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And Paul Heyman's asking for Brock Lesnar's rematch, which... Kurt Angle said it's going to be a cold day in hell before he gets his rematch.
Yeah.
And a long, long, long time before he gets his rematch. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I honestly think there's a chance Brock might come back for Hell in a Cell. Brock might get one more match where he'll come out, beat the fuck out of Roman Reigns, and like, all right, one more match. Maybe do title versus career or something, and... It'll be Brock's send-off.
I like them keeping the Money in the Bank potentials just looming over there, too. He still hasn't cashed it in, so we're still have to talk about it.
I'm liking the deal.
They're making Raw interesting, at least.
I know. Raw has been this past Raw was interesting. It was worth watching. Yes. I wasn't the best.
I watched the 3-hour cut.
Was not the best episode in the world, but definitely was better than it has been.
Question: leaps and bounds. Did you see the B team fight the Revival individually in the 2-hour cut?
No.
Okay, you didn't miss anything because
honestly, the thing that hacked me up about the 2-hour cut about Hulu was they kept that 15-minute fucking Triple H promo in there that it really didn't matter that much.
That they're trying to sell that pay-per-view, though.
It's not like, even... It's like a special event on that network, which is fine. But they cut a lot of wrestling out of the Hulu cut to have that promo in there that really didn't need to be there.
I think your buddy Triple H is okay with it. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know
if you've watched his work or not.
Yeah, but
I'm going to have to...
He's a big fan of himself.
I'm probably going to have to get the live Hulu thing so I can start watching like the 3-hour Raws again at my leisure. Because those 2 hours... I do not... It's not even 2 hours. It's an hour and a half.
Oh,
I
really?
I think the Raws are... They're both... Both Raw and SmackDown, I think, are an hour and a half on Hulu now.
Yeah. Those matches weren't particularly good.
They cut
good,
so much out.
But yeah, it's just... The B team is still undefeated as a tag team, but they lost both those matches to the Revival in singles competition.
Which
so they're pushing
me,
the Revival.
Which tells me the B team's going to win. That's it. I would really like the Revival. I would really like the Revival to win. Did you see that?
But I'm not huge
We'll get to it. But before we get quite get to anyone, what else did you really like? Like, what was your favorite part about SummerSlam?
The Miz... Daniel Bryan match.
What's your favorite?
That was. I love that. I take it back. Let me rewind the podcast here a little bit by saying, yeah, Seth Rollins, woo! He found his Intercontinental Championship. We are out of the Dark Ages. What a way to kick off SummerSlam. I was feeling really bad having just got my ass whooped by Showtime Schultz in the video game tournament. Yeah, and I was feeling down.
You were pretty salty.
And not loving life very much. And then Seth Rollins came in, burned it down! The lunatic Dean Ambrose was out there. And I'll get into what those two were up to on Raw in just a little bit here. But it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Glad Seth Rollins found his championship.
It was a good match. I'm not mad at it.
It was a good way to kick it off. I was surprised they kicked off the pay-per-view with that.
I like that video you got of me. Yeah, Seth Rollins.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was good. Oh, no, I thought that match was great.
Miz was awesome, too.
Miz and Bryan match was great. Samoa Joe AJ was great.
That was great.
The
matches were great.
The Ronda Alexa Bliss match was fine.
Yep.
Yeah. I wasn't here for that one. Who won?
Ronda.
Ronda tapped out Alexa Bliss, and Alexa Bliss was on Raw in a sling holding her left leg. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Aw.
Mine's sarcastic. Yours is literally
mine's legit.
My future ex-wife.
Charlotte won the triple threat with Becky and Carmella.
Charlotte's my girl.
Becky flips out and beats the fuck out of Charlotte, which is good.
Loving Becky. I'm enjoying having a spine right now.
When I was watching that, I was like, maybe I should have picked Becky.
It was tough. Well, that's a shocking thing. You said that Charlotte had the lowest possibility of winning that match. And I was telling you, I'm like, don't put it past the WWE. Nepotism rules.
So they did what I thought they were going to do in the big picture. What I thought they were going to do was leave the title on Carmella.
Right.
To keep the women's title in a separate feud, have Charlotte and Becky feud without the title, have Carmella feud with someone else with the title.
I get the logic.
I guess they just like, we want that. Because my thought was that it will probably go...
This feud has some heat, though.
They will probably go that Becky's going to win the match, Charlotte costs her the win, and Carmella steals it. And then Charlotte and Becky fight over, like, costing each other the title.
Right.
This is fine.
It's fresher. But, you know what I mean? Because they can always do that method a lot.
I would have preferred it the other way. This is fine. I do think that... I guess I did not see Charlotte winning it that way because I thought either Becky was going to get cost the title and turn on Charlotte or Becky was going to win the title and turn on Charlotte. I did not think it would end up with Becky turning on Charlotte because she won, but it was also a very reasonable storyline. Nothing wrong with any of that.
I loved the promo that Becky cut on SmackDown. I was so just... I'm on the Becky train. She's just finally fed up and has a spine. I love that they had the locker room have to break up Charlotte and Becky. this feud as he, and I'm saying it right now, they're going to be inside the Hell in a Cell.
Oh, yeah.
Becky, Charlotte, Hell in a Cell.
That grudge match. I'm calling it right now.
Becky, Charlotte, Hell in a Cell.
I'm like, Charlotte's my girl, but I was like.
Wasn't it last year that it was Charlotte and Sasha Hell in a Cell? Was that last year, the year before?
I think it was 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully it goes a little better. I remember Vince not being happy with that match.
Right, but I like that he's willing to try.
But my thing is.
It's not official yet.
Hang on. My thing is that I think the reason Vince wasn't happy with that Hell in a Cell match is because Sasha's not as good as everyone says she is. She's not. They were worried that they were literally just killing each other out there, and not like unsafely. Like a lot of those, a lot of those moves. We should go back and watch that.
Sasha, let me refresh
Sasha,
my memory.
Charlotte Hell in a Cell match. I remember a lot of those moves looking really
with a lot of tense moments.
I remember.
Could you just see this man in the back going, "Good Lord!"
I was doing that.
She killed her. Oh yeah. Lord! And just walked away.
Yeah,
I remember. That was like a 4 or 5 month stretch where we weren't really doing the podcast or anything.
Yeah.
And I stopped watching it, and like I'm like, wait, Sasha. And yeah, you meant. So we went and rewatched those that match.
The Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank. The Iron Man.
Mm. Iron Woman.
Iron Woman
30
match.
30 minute. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And one other one, I think. It was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it was. I was with the Iron Woman match with Bayley from NXT, or the
No, one? Charlotte and
wasn't that the last one where they're like
Charlotte,
we're ending
Sasha.
The feud? We're ending
okay,
the
you're,
feud.
Yeah,
yeah,
you're
all
right.
The Sasha Charlotte
matches. I just remember those Charlotte Sasha matches, no disrespect, because I think they both really wanted to do well, and I think like I admire that ambition. I think that they were trying so hard to do a high work rate like match that a lot of their moves, one, looked bad, and two, looked dangerous.
Well,
there was the one where
they didn't need to do a lot of it was what I remember from it. I'm like, you don't need to do that spot.
One spot where like Sasha dumps Charlotte on her head.
Yeah,
I forget what the context. I feel like it would have been a double knee spot where Charlotte falls on her head. And
do you want to do a commentary on that?
I would love to do a commentary. All right,
write down that we have to do a commentary on that match. But I want to talk to Lil Dia here a little bit. Because before the show started, she had a few decrees as new general manager.
Oh.
And I also want to ask her a little bit about where the MIA train is, because he said he was going to be here, and he's just... Is he under the table? Is he in the car? Where is he?
He is sleeping.
Sleeping?
Oh.
Because we were playing video games, and then all of a sudden he's like, I'm going to take a nap.
Okay.
So I'm going to take a nap.
Sleep is more important than the understood podcast of the world.
Then.
And
then I was like, it's 6:30, ready to go? No, I'm going to keep sleeping. You go.
Oh, A-Train, I'm going to start calling you the B-Train. If you don't fucking...
Not even better than the C-Train.
No,
like,
definitely not better than the C-Train.
As long as he's not the Z-Train like his brother. Zach.
Oh, okay. I'm all like, why do we call him the Z-Train? Because he's last.
Is he the youngest?
He's the caboose.
Yes, he is.
Okay, awesome. And then you were also telling me about you wanted to play a little game here, comparing wrestlers to what exactly?
Rocks.
Why is that?
I'm a geologist.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
Okay. I want
to. Nate Dog suggested this because I was talking to him. About
the Nate Yard Dog. NYD. NYD. NYD.
So he suggested that because, like, yeah, I'm
a. And you had start us off here. This was fun.
All right. So the first one MIA Train suggested was Bobby Roode.
Okay. The glorious one. Who would have thought the A Train?
Go figure.
Who would have figured?
He's not sleeping at home. He's like watching Bobby Roode videos.
So. Spiteful me and just very mean me decided to compare Bobby Roode to Micah.
Why is that?
Hold on.
Are you gonna look it up?
Oh yeah, let's see here.
But go ahead and
Micah is soft and flaky. A good thing about it is it's sparkly.
Oh, bam!
Soft, flaky,
bam,
sparkly.
Bam, bam, look at that.
Flaky and.
Awesome. So what I'm hearing is that he's actually at home crying.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably. What would Dwayne The Rock Johnson
do? We discussed this.
Okay, let's go.
Now, I love me The Rock.
Oh, yes. Rocky, Rocky, Rocky.
Die, Rocky, die.
I compared him to Granite because everybody wants him, and he's nice to touch and look at.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
I want to do Daniel Bryan real quick. I want to compare him to a rock at the beach. Well, that you think is a rock, but then just turns into sand because he's so fragile and brittle. He's just so breakable.
So yes! Pretty much just yes! Sand that's
yes!
Just...
Take that, Daniel Bryan!
Not even a rock?
Mrs. Summer's
I don't
better.
Think that's a rock.
That's not a rock.
That's not a rock. It's gonna be like sand.
Showtime is standing up staring me down right now.
Well, you could just compare him to sandstone because yeah, sandstone just like breaks that. Apart.
That's what I was doing.
Okay.
Geologist
stuff.
In the house. Thank you. Thank you. Take that, Daniel Bryan. Send your angry tweets to @TrebucheLOL.
I am going to compare Trebuchet to a fossilized dinosaur dung because he's an old piece of shit.
I thought you were gonna call me oily or something.
How?
Well, not wrong.
I thought you were.
Ouch. Nice.
That's painful.
All right, mustache. What you got? Who you compare to a rock? He's eating his mustache.
I wasn't ready for this. Even if everyone already said something.
Everyone's got to have one at least.
What's Sasha? What kind of rock is Sasha?
I'm looking at Sasha right now. I'm thinking about it.
It's got to be something ratchet.
Sasha's Fool's ratchet.
Fool's gold.
Fool's gold.
That's what
I like. That. I like that. I like that. That's good.
Today.
Sasha's fool. I know that's good. I would say that Jeff Hardy is like those like really like sparkly like rainbow stone things. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they do. I don't know what they are. Though.
Do you make
what, limestone or like?
Wait. Are you talking about the ones that are like man made and they're like?
No, not like those. I know what you're talking about. Those. There are stones that like they kind of reflect. They have like a really reflective rainbowy kind of thing.
Are you talking about like agate?
I'm not a geologist.
What about,
the only rock I know about is the one my neighbor sells.
What about Samoa Joe?
GRPD, please help. Chad's neighborhood's really bad.
Samoa Joe
is...
What is his move, Joe?
The Kina Clutch?
Yeah. I think I found out Coquina is a rock.
Oh,
is
nice.
It? Yeah, yeah, it is.
Bam. 3 packs for mustache for knowing stuff.
Yeah.
Liv Morgan is gonna be my diamond, personally. Hit me up at @TrebuchetLOL.
Your diamond is that to say that you can't afford her?
That's right. I can't afford her, but she's really pretty. She's really pretty.
It is the hardest rock.
Oh.
You can't break it.
Okay. She's the brightest out of all the rocks, that's what I'm saying.
True.
It is true. But what would the Iconics be here, Showtime? Do them individually.
I know so very little about rocks. You're just daring me to say something tasteless about Peyton Royce, and she said enough of that recently.
Meltzer did enough of that for us.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah.
Let's segue into that, yeah. Shall we?
You kind of describe a rock that you've seen.
That's a problem.
He's going to work himself into a chute.
My eyes don't work,
oh, you
also.
You can do gemstones if you want to.
Sure.
I like gemstones.
Because, like, my favorite not birthstone, but favorite like mineral, which is a gemstone, is beryl, which is aquamarine.
I see.
But heliodor.
I see.
So be sure to subscribe to this podcast.
You understand? We talk about the world.
We talk about wrestling. Our new general manager is bringing it over and throwing the first stone as our new GM. Yes, get ready for all the rock puns, everybody.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say three claps.
I got a coffee in my hand. I thought you were about to say three claps. Three claps for Lydia bringing something to the table. 2, 3. All right. We'll work on the clapping.
This reminds me of that one time where Patty went on like a 5-minute tangent about the difference between unicorns and alcohorns and all that.
Yeah, this podcast has everything.
That sounds like your
sister. Oh, what would Dolph Ziggler be?
Oh.
Oh, man.
He can be Talc.
What's that? What is that?
Talc is really soft.
Have you ever heard of talcum powder?
Yeah.
It's like baby powder.
This white mineral that is literally just, you can flake it. Like, it's super soft.
It's
and
powder.
Just scratch it. It's powder. They put it a lot in makeup.
Okay, yeah. Take that, Dolph. Take it.
Take it.
Take it.
Take it. Take the talc.
Yeah.
It's just super powdery.
Take the talc. Hashtag take the top. I think at goat, everybody.
I think we've got the name of this podcast. This episode name is hashtag take the talc. I like it.
It goes on babies' asses.
Oh, well, yeah.
Pedophile. Don't pedophile.
Joe, we don't have that lawyer yet. You gotta tone that down. Dolph Ziggler is not a pedophile, but he's a libertarian, and there is a weird amount of cross over there.
Take that, Dolph Ziggler. Take that. So, wrestling. We should talk about that a little bit.
Wrestling, too,
What was your favorite part of SummerSlam, Lodia?
Charlotte.
Was it with Charlotte? Yeah. Charlotte whooping that ass.
Whooping that ass. Did she get a boob job?
Which time?
So what
great question. But so, like the last time Charlotte, I saw her boobs were not like.
No, this is actually a good segue because we were talking about last week.
Yeah, well,
physical things in wrestling.
So that one's interesting because that's an injury thing. Charlotte,
she had an implant.
A few months ago, had her implant like rupture. It didn't burst, but it was leaking.
Yeah, she needed.
And they she had to take a few weeks off because apparently that's really bad.
Silicone is bad for you.
It's poison. Yeah, to let that leak into your body is real bad.
So she had very sexy, but very poisonous.
Would say we had probably had to go in and put a new one in. So they probably did some work to both, just because there's something.
Why not? Since you're in the area.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
When in Rome, roam around a little bit.
Well, I feel like
David Otunga. I need you so bad. I'm like, yeah, on my staff right now.
But like, if you're in wrestling as a woman, it's not. I don't feel like it's really smart to get a boob job. Because
I can't let us not segue at this point.
Let's talk. Since Chad Showtime Schultz lives on Twitter, find him at Showtime Schultz.
We'll figure.
And what you were on there recently, and what happened? Break it down for us. Breaking news.
It is it's well documented that I'm a big Dave Meltzer fan. It's also well documented that I have a giant crush on Peyton Royce. Worlds fucking collide. So Dave Meltzer's talking on his podcast about kind of why the Iconics haven't been what they were on NXT. Right along that thought that like people when they go to the main roster aren't what they were on NXT.
Right. We've talked about that before.
And it came up that he made the statement that like was she she doesn't like look the same, you know. Because they brought up the story is that both Billy and Peyton had breastwork done before they came up.
Yeah.
So they do look a little different. It kind of transitioned to like at one point he was like, well, she's just like heavier, like
right, yeah.
And like, it was this weird
called her fat in so many ways.
Yeah, like, it was this, and then really? And yeah. Then it was a really so that happens.
Lil Dia is just like staring like a hole through the my phone right now.
You don't say that shit to a girl.
Well, so that
even about her.
So that
there.
So that happens, and. The wrestler, so we do a podcast here, and we sometimes say some things.
I say some racy things, I'm a comedian, and I will stretch the truth a lot and make an ass out of myself.
One, we work on comedy around here, and
that's
two,
I am a heel.
we're only talking to the 12 of you who listen to
that's
this.
Right, yeah. That's right, that's right. If you're ever offended, feel free to tweet at me, and I will send you to Mustache.
That's the play. the issue is that Dave Meltzer is super tied in with a company, and they, like he's like right, the authority. Yeah. He's the authority
the
on wrestling.
Listen to Dave Meltzer.
Yeah,
the fans listen to Dave Meltzer.
Like Jim Cornette has said that back during the Monday Night Wars, he would listen to Dave Meltzer to figure out what was going on in other companies. Like
finger on the pulse of pro wrestling. Yeah. Dave Meltzer, right.
So
there.
He's considered an authority, and he's really well plugged in, and wrestlers listen to him. So that when you say something like that,
yeah,
the person you are talking about is going to hear it.
Right.
So
you can tell Liv Morgan has never heard this podcast. I have not received papers yet. It is very true.
Yeah, you know what I mean. If she ever catches wind, you will be getting a cease and desist letter.
I will frame it.
I'm sure you will. But so it was this thing where the wrestler's kind of this weird pile on where it's becoming increasingly cool to kind of hate on Dave Meltzer because he isn't technically in the industry. Like, he's not a worker.
He doesn't work for the WWE.
He's on the outside. So guys have weird feelings about him, and people like call him a liar. I generally believe most of his scoops. I think he's right far more often than he's wrong. But people kind of took – the wrestlers kind of took that as an opportunity to kind of just pile on him a little bit. Yeah. I didn't – necessarily agree with that. So, like, well, what he said was wrong. He issued an apology.
This made it worse.
He issued an apology that was like, I'm sorry I said you're unattractive. You know, there was a conscue that I said you were unattractive. You are attractive, and thanks for pointing out that it's hard for women to be forced to be attractive in the entertainment industry. And someone just goes, I'm sorry I called you unfuckable. You are indeed fuckable is not an apology.
Like, yeah, like, wow. It's just not... He didn't make himself look any better.
So he... I feel like
he it's an apology. You need to take your lumps. Shut the fuck up. Less is more with apologies.
He didn't have any moral high ground. And I think that, like, the pile-on he got from a lot of the wrestlers was wrong. I felt bad for her because you could tell, like, she responded and was like, you know, wow, you know, what would you have me do? You know, I'm...
You want me to start throwing up today?
Yeah, that's really... That, like, would you have me not eat? Like.
Yeah. Like, come on now. Like, it's a real problem in this day and age. And wrestling is very physical. Yeah, your appearance is your fucking...
So stepping away from that, that's...
Your business.
I've been thinking a lot about this, and this is kind of tricky. And you and I, we're all in the comedy industry. It's kind of a weird gray area, too. Like, can you say...
I am a white guy with dreadlocks. I talk about that in my comedy. You know what I mean?
Like
Because
there's something to be said...
How far is too far?
Yeah, there's something to be said. We talk about Kevin Owens' weight. Like, Kevin Owens' weight is a...
He's aware of it.
People talk about it.
People call him a fat ass.
Well, not even that. It's not even...
I've seen people do that.
That's wrong. You call him a fat ass from, like...
I don't appreciate people saying it to him, but I've seen it done.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying... So, like, if you're talking to him, it's like, again, it's like, are you talking the character of the person? But if you're talking about Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen, the person, going, you're a fat ass, that's mean.
That's mean.
But are you going, Kevin Steen, if you lost 50 pounds, you're already fantastic in the ring, would you be even better?
I don't think
that's
so. I don't think so. I think Kevin Owens' character is better because of his weight.
But just for sake of argument, because there's a lot of, like, Jim Cornette, a lot of the other guys have said, if Kevin Steen lost weight, they wanted it when he was in Ring of Honor to lose weight. So, like, is it wrong for them to say, to critique his weight and go, well, he weighs this much. If he weighed less, he'd be a better performer and it would help his career in this way. Or we talk about EC3, having that he's fucking chisel out of stone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that helps him. So someone that has a softer body. So, like, a good example right now is Cassius Ohno in NXT, Chris Hero.
Yep, he's a little soft.
They fired him at one point because he put on so much weight.
Okay.
And then he came back. He lost a little bit of weight. But so we can talk about the guys being hard or soft and how it affects their career. Now, if you're saying Cassius Ohno is a fat ass and he's ugly, that's wrong.
Right.
But if you're going, Cassius Ohno has to wrestle in a shirt because he can't, he looks bad without it, that's part of his look.
It'll hurt his character.
Yeah, and how much better would he be cardio-wise? Would he be more marketable if he had a better physique? That's fair game.
Uh-huh.
So where's that line, and then where does that apply to the women, too? Because that's sticky, because, again, you don't... It's considered more taboo to talk about women that way, but also is... There's something to be said about, so, like, you book Nia Jax as the big girl. They've pressed that where, like, I've been bullied because I'm big. And
yeah, they lean into it.
So they lean into that. So, like, on the one hand, you have to mention that she's big, but what can you say? What can't you say?
What's crossing the line?
And then you go, it was if at one point WWE says, all right, Nia, you're, and this isn't true, but, like, if it's Nia, all right, Nia, you're getting gassed in the ring too easily. Or, you know, you need to slim down a little bit for the sake of your work or your, you know, is that okay? And then for there to go, so you need to slim down for your marketability. Is that okay? And then, that's all a gray area to me.
I think it's pretty clear cut.
Do you? Explain.
I mean, if Meltzer was talking about her weight is how it affects her ability to wrestle, it's one thing, but he's talking about her attractiveness.
Sure.
Sexual attractiveness is way different than
their
ability to
perform. There is some crossover there with someone's look and marketability with... Now, I will say definitely Dave Meltzer was... It seemed very... That seemed very skeevy. But to go... We want our women to have this look, and if you gain weight, you don't have it. That's not necessarily based in, like, I want to have sex with her, but it is based in how marketable are you because of your look, and how does that matter? That seems to be the gray area. What do you think?
In a way, I mean, I don't think, like, in this case,
No, certainly.
Well, yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, in this case, it wasn't like a, like, I don't even think the weight changed to a point where it would have done that.
No, exactly. Correct.
So,
no,
I think that, no. that's fine. That's on the acceptable side of the gray area.
So you think that if a female wrestler were to gain weight to a certain degree,
to a degree where it was affecting their overall
look and performance, that would be.
Mm-hmm.
So, but,
same thing if they shave their head, you know, like a drastic appearance change.
What do you think?
A minor change in weight.
I'm kind of like different.
You were there.
Yeah, because like if it's starting to affect the way they perform,
that makes it.
That's like a regular job. Mm. They always like most of the time they're required to. You have to be able to lift 50 pounds.
Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to do something.
You can't be able to do that anymore.
I want to steer the conversation a little bit here. Okay, we've talked about behind the scenes stuff and like that. How do we feel about the bad guys of wrestling, the talent calling out the fans, like Scott Steiner
calls people fat ass, would that fly these days?
So what I was going to transition in is that
it sounds like everyone at this table agrees that your look, which affects like your weight, which affects your look, is relevant to the conversation about your career a little bit.
Right.
There are people, an increasing number of fans, that any pointing out of a wrestler's weight, particularly female, but also male, I've seen people take it for males too, is wrong, and it's shaming, and it's not okay. And I'm just not sure where this is going. And then it's also leading into how wrestlers are able... those same fans are also leading into how wrestlers can be heels now. Because if they don't want wrestlers calling other wrestlers fat, they don't want... wrestlers calling fans fat. They don't want fans calling wrestlers fat, or any other shaming of that kind. Mm-hmm. Not just fat, but like things like that.
When you're trying to get the people to hate this guy. Yeah. How far is too far there?
I think a heel character is different. Mm-hmm. I think it's different.
You think it's okay for people to call people fat and stuff if they're a bad guy?
If they're a bad guy, if they're trying, if that's
like,
the
is
angle.
Is that their character?
No, it definitely is.
If that's the character they're trying to portray, then
So the situation.
I don't know, but I wouldn't like to be like.
You wouldn't want
to looking at me like you're fat.
Yeah,
right.
that's
I'm a chunky girl, so if I was called that by some guy, I'd be like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
But if you antagonize him, would you be okay with him calling you that?
Yeah, like,
Scott Steiner, you're a fucking ball of shit, and he goes, "Shut up, fat ass."
Yeah, like I'm antagonizing him. That's fine. I get what I'm...
Yeah, okay. Because they would come at me. They'd be like, shut up, white guy with dry eyes. Go forget some shit.
Like, I've always felt the
give and take with that, especially when it's like an independent show where there's enough people where if you yell at a wrestler, they know you yelled at them.
Yeah.
If you go, hey, you suck, and you're a faggot, and then go, hey... So actually, a funny example of this is that there's an independent wrestler, his name was The Prince, and he was like a big old black guy that wore like a Egyptian headdress or something. Very indie. But he was kind of walking by, and I was like, hey, Prince, how about some Purple Rain? And he goes, hey, kid, how about some Jenny Craig? And I was like, damn, he got me. I was like, fucking props. He got me. I ain't mad.
I
fucked with him. He shot back at me.
That's how that works.
Yeah. But
there is a line.
Yeah, I
don't think you're going to see a Bubba Ray Dudley go, hey, there's this lady in the front row that taught her daughter how to suck a dick. You're not going to hear that.
We're not doing that anymore.
That's too far, I know. Yeah. That's good enough to open my comedy area.
You have to be a part of the company, a part of the company, or if you're a fan, be provoking.
Mm-hmm. I've seen people say, and I can't speak to how many of these people there are, you know, vocal minority situation, but... They like, if a wrestler's calling another wrestler fat, that makes me feel bad for being fat, so I don't want to go to these shows anymore. And then wrestlers are starting to take up for those people. It's kind of a how woke can we be competition in a little bit, and that might be an unpopular statement. But it's one of those like, oh, these fans feel fat shamed. There's something to be said about don't pick on people. People say wrestling doesn't exist in a bubble, and I say it kind of does to an extent.
To a point.
It's fantasy. When you're going there, you submit yourself to certain things, and it's not a safe space. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to knock the idea of a safe space. But if you want your place where you can't be insulted...
Don't do pro wrestling.
Pro wrestling is a weird...
Controversy
wrestling is a
creates
A wrestling crowd is a weird place to be like, I don't want anything that's going to make me uncomfortable.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's an experience. Especially if you're sitting near me. You're going to hear some shit. shit. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to cry. I'm probably going to say something that you won't agree with.
Kind of like...
Especially
much like this podcast.
And I'm not... Kind of like going to a roast and being all like, why are they jabbing at each other?
That's the whole idea.
Yeah. Honestly, and the other thing to mention too is that maybe there's something to be said about like, something can... I'm not saying these people can't be offended. Let's say that guy told me, how about some Jenny Craig, and that really made me mad. Yeah. Like, that really hurt my feelings.
Go
it's,
off.
It's okay for me. It's okay for it to hurt my feelings. Yeah, like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if I go, well, we shouldn't be able to do that. Like, we shouldn't talk about people's weight at all. There's nothing wrong with being offended by or having your feelings hurt. That's natural. Those are feelings, whatever. But when you decide that from there that you need to implement a rule that this can't happen anymore... Just know that, like, sometimes people are going to say things that bother you, and not everyone's values are your values. Mm-hmm. But it worries me that I don't want to see wrestling get to a place where we can't... So, I guess the point I'm getting at is they call that cheap... The fans are calling that cheap heat. We got there and called the guy fat, and that's cheap heat, and that's too easy to get, and they should feel bad for it. Well, maybe that's true. But also, you're getting on the internet... In bitching out a wrestler by name,
you're
calling him a dickbag, it's something you know isn't real. It's not cheap heat, it's great heat. Yeah. It's the best heat they can get, and I guess I can't blame them for getting it.
If they're saying your name on the internet because you said it, it's going to make me say it again. You know what I mean? Hence, President Trump.
Yeah.
WWE Hall of Famer.
You.
So,
nobody clapping in this room.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say my opinion about the whole weight thing.
Yeah.
So long as it's not a matter of health, I think that we should probably not try to say too much about the wrestlers themselves. Mm-hmm. As far as the fans go, you're fucking fair game. We live in America. The First Amendment is what it is. If you don't like it, say something about it. Yeah. Say something back.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And you're right. If you don't like seeing that at all, don't show up to the show. That's fine, too.
Yeah, I am...
Fucking hug your blanket. It's pro wrestling. It's PG, for fuck's sake. If it's not even the Attitude Era. If this is the Attitude Era, and you're getting offended by Stone Cold Steve Austin, stunning Goldust and throw him into a fucking porta-potty, that's fine. Like, I'll defend that. If you get offended by the Insane Clown Posse performing at SummerSlam, I'll talk to you about that, too. It's not even like that anymore. It's way less than it used to be.
That's a good point. A lot of that Attitude stuff has aged very badly.
No, seriously. Seriously, you're not going to do half of that
stuff. Or even like some indie guys still get... Like, so Dean Ambrose...
The Eddie Guerrero, I'm your poppy angle?
Yeah.
They would not do that today.
No. Oh, but Lord. So like Dean Ambrose still catches heat on the internet. When he was John Moxley in CZW, he called Apollo...
He said a really bad word.
Apollo Crews, who was... Yuha Nation was his name. He called Dean Ambrose called Apollo Crews the N-word. It's in CZW, in a promo. And I'm not saying calling people fat's okay. And I'm not saying that's okay. What I'm saying is that if the workers involved are fine with it and it doesn't meet your sensibility, don't buy the product. If you don't, you cannot underestimate the power of the pocketbook on that. If it offends everybody and you stop buying it, they'll change.
Well, look at it, like, from a Hollywood perspective. Are people getting pissed at Leonardo DiCaprio for saying that a million times in Django Unchained?
See, that, and that's...
And that's everybody the thing. It's an
entertainment product for everyone's in on it.
See, I tend to agree with that. It's just, there seems to be a... And I've never been able to explain it, and I've listened to a lot of wrestlers talk about it.
Yeah.
No one can quite explain that weird disconnect between... That's entertainment, and this is entertainment, but somehow this still reflects on who we are as people. And
is it because there's a live studio audience?
I almost think, I almost think the mystique around it, the kayfabe, everything is so... People get engulfed where you still want to think it's real.
You know it's fake, but you still think that you're the guy that said it is kind of a dick. Yeah.
You're still reacting to it like it's like fucking... like Russell Wilson said it in a sporting, you know, like an actual real sporting event.
It's just,
I'm not saying that Dean Ambrose should be saying
no one's saying that opinion. What they're saying is
how much of it is acting is what I'm saying.
One, it shouldn't necessarily reflect on the person.
Well, there's a big difference
if it's the
person he's saying it is all like, I didn't know he was going to say that, and I don't approve of it. This and that.
I think there's a big difference between Dean Ambrose saying that. And Hulk Hogan getting on the radio and saying, I don't want my daughter dating...
I'm still mad at Hulk Hogan. We were talking the other day.
We're...
You were like, put a TNA shirt on. I'm like, Chad, The only clean TNA shirt I have is a Hulk Hogan one, and I am not wearing that because I am mad at the Hulkster.
We got to wrap this up pretty quick. I got to be somewhere. But
yeah, we're getting
next episode, we got to talk about the Hulk Hogan situation.
But right. Well, we'll have Mike Logan on, won't we?
Oh, that is
the next episode.
That seems really like it. That could be an interesting conversation. But I think to wrap that up is basically, long story short, it's just all a bunch of gray area, and don't bully people, but also know that wrestling is in a bit of a bubble, and that it's just tricky to know what you can say about a wrestler and as far as their look and work goes, but as soon as it turns into more of an objectifying kind of thing, it's a really fine line. Situational, but yeah, it was a conversation worth having.
Yeah, be kind. Yeah. Rewind your VHS tapes, right, Mustache? That's totally. That's the whole point.
We've got no plans for our VHS tapes.
No plans. I got Ben Fall.
I got Ben Fall.
All right. Yeah, okay. So let's talk about the ratings real quick. You looked them up. What did we get?
Okay. Yeah, I know. You made me look them up. We got to talk about them. Okay. Week before SummerSlam, I looked those up too because we didn't have them. Raw was 2.83 million. SmackDown was 2.19 million.
Real quick, Raw. What was it? Say one more time.
Raw was 2.83 million. Very close to the week before that. And SmackDown was 2.19 million.
Cool. There was a Shield reunion on Monday Night Raw. Everybody, the Big Dog, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins were all the Hounds of Justice again.
They beat the shit out of Braun. Are we getting a heel turn? Are we getting a whole Shield?
I love it.
I don't know. I want to see where it goes. I'm not ready to call it. Don't get me wrong.
People don't hate Roman in the Shield.
First of all, that's true. When you put it next to Dean and Seth, they like him a lot better. Mm-hmm. The thing is that it's a cool moment, and I think that if we can get, I would be down for a heel Shield.
Me too.
I think
if Dean's still hurt, they can have him in the background a little
bit. Yeah, he can work like, you know what I mean? Lighter. Like,
there's a lot they can do with
but
this.
But if we
hopefully they won't get like broken up, and it won't be the sham that it was last time.
Yeah, hopefully it's not cursed.
Yeah.
Okay, and then SummerSlam happened, obviously.
Yes.
And then the Raw after SummerSlam got 3.09 million, which, I mean, the Raw after WrestleMania.
Oh, I thought you were... That's what we're talking about.
No.
No, what was the current? We need the current ratings.
Yeah, that was the one before. That was the week before because we didn't have an episode.
That was the one before.
That one, so I wanted to bring that up. The one after was Raw with 3.09 million.
That was the Shield reunion.
Yeah, that's when the Shield reunion actually happened. Yes. So the week before that was very similar to the week before that week.
Yep.
Mm. But there's definitely a difference between the week after SummerSlam and the week before SummerSlam.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I said that. I go, after this SummerSlam, as good a show as it was, with as many impactful things that happened, Raw really
is Brock going to be there. Finn Balor got his rematch.
It was competing against the MTV VMAs as well.
Yeah. And the ratings went up.
That's a testament.
Yeah. Because those were usually on Sundays. I don't know why that was on a Monday.
They've been on Monday the last couple of years.
Oh, really? SmackDown had 2.437 million. We saw a new tag team champions.
The New Day!
Five-time champions.
Yes.
They actually was mentioned in the article, which I don't even think would be a factor, but because of all the shit that went down with, Cohen and Manafort with the trials. Cable News saw a huge.
Yeah,
spike,
no. Cable. Yesterday was a bad day for Donald Trump.
I was like, who are these pro wrestlers? I don't know who that is.
I imagine Cable News was ratings were way up.
Rachel Maddow had the highest ratings of everything on cable yesterday.
It's always funny whenever something like that happens. I would always go like, I didn't have cable. Like, I will bring snacks to anyone's house who will let me watch CNN. Like, cable News and chill, anyone?
That's a line.
That'll probably be us before I can. Well, you're leaving, but yeah.
That's fair. So I think we should, since Chad's got to go and Lil D has got to make their.
We got to get to it.
Let's go to final thoughts. Mustache. Wait. Go ahead.
I want to see a. So we had a recently had a triple threat tag team match, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I want to see.
On Raw, you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see a member of a tag team pin another member of a tag team, because Trebuchet told me it was possible a couple days ago.
Yes. Yes.
That's never happened before.
Have both members of your team be legal? Have one pin the other one. It's never... The championship never changed hands that way, but I've seen two counts.
I just want to see it happen. Hopefully not in the title match.
You mean like Bo Dallas pinning Curtis Axel to retain the
title? Yes.
Just want to see it.
That's a silly ass gimmick that I want to see. And that's B-team gimmick right there.
Yeah.
What?
They'd still be undefeated.
I don't... Wow, that's a big fucking gaping plot hole in there.
So Bo Dallas is in the ring with Matt Hardy.
No, throws
Matt Hardy into the ropes. Curtis Axel tags himself in. They take out everybody else and they pin each other real quick in the middle of the ring.
I don't think you... I think the rules of this match actually go... You can't... If one guy is legal...
I will send you Attitude Era stuff where I've seen guys...
Sure. My actual understanding of those rules is that only one member of the team can be legal at the same time.
That's not what I'm telling everybody.
All right. He told me.
My wrestling, and this will
work. My understanding
of the rules... Even though it happens occasionally, like a couple times a year at least, I always forget the rules.
Yeah, my understanding...
So
match... WrestleMania 20 had two of those. The two Fatal 4-Way matches like that.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding of that was always that... Two men are illegal, and you can tag in and out, but both men from the same team can't be illegal. Also, it would stand to reason that you would never... So let's say it could... One, it only works that way. Two, if it did work that way, wrestlers would never let the two people in this ring
tag. No, that's what happens. It always gets broken up.
Yeah, they would.
No, normally, it's like the one team won't get involved in the ring at all, and all these other teams are doing damage. So what happens is both guys in the ring tag in both the team members... And then they look like they're going to square off, and then they roll them up real quick, and it's like 1-2, and like... It's awesome. It's awesome.
Also, it brings up a point. They didn't really win, because they also lost.
That's fair.
Make it happen.
I'm going to have to fucking dive deep into the wrestling rules book for this. It's going to be so... My night's going to be so annoying now.
We're going to have a good show next week.
I'm not going to even let this go. Will Dia, final thoughts.
I won, and I have a taste for more, so I'm going to win next time.
Ooh, chicken fest. How long is that? September. I don't know what day it is. I forgot. Let's look it up.
I don't know. Sunday.
Sunday.
It's on Sunday. The one after that's on Saturday. 4 a.m.
Final thoughts, Showtime?
My final thoughts for this is that I also won a title, and that... I've got that title. I'm coming for your title. However,
me too.
I would be amenable in a title versus title situation. I will play you in 2K. If you can beat me, you can be 2K champ. If I beat you, I win that title.
You do realize I have not played it yet?
Have you tried getting good?
I know my final thoughts.
Chad's good at video games, everybody. I want that to be a tweet. I'm good at video games.
I know my final thoughts, everybody, but I just want to point out how dumb I am because I just Googled to find out when Hell in a Cell is. Instead of Googling Hell in a Cell, I Googled Chicken Fest. Like, it's going to tell me when it is.
Wow. My other final thought is Chris Goat is high. Good night, everybody.
All right. That leaves me here for my final thought. I am pretty done with the mixed matches in WWE. I don't like the way they're structured. I don't like the men can't fight the women. It totally changes the dynamic of tag teams in general of the matches.
You agree with me that we don't necessarily have to have men fighting women in the company, but the idea of the mixed tag, it's a tag team match that eliminates all psychology to a tag team match.
Right, you don't have the advantage because the only time you want to tag out is when you're getting your ass kicked, which is not...
But then you tag out to another, both fresh guys.
Yeah, two fresh guys, so you're back to square one, essentially.
You lose so much of the tag team psychology.
Yeah, I don't like it.
We were bitching about this for a while before
Miz and Marisha not have to fight Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella because he retired from fighting him.
Shut the fuck
up. Miz is awesome. I am Trebuchet. Follow me at Trebuchet LOL. Trebuchet out.
Can I still get those quarters?
Yeah.